God, we do thank you for the privilege we have to seek after you. And Lord, as we open your word to read it this morning, reveal yourself to us. Lord, as I come to preach, Lord, might your Holy Spirit speak to me and through me. Lord, I don't want to be preaching my word, my truth, or even somebody else's who's more learned than I. Lord, I don't want anybody's truth but yours. And Lord, I pray for each person here that you would prepare them to hear your word, to receive what it is you have for them this day. And that whether I do well or I do poor, you would speak into their hearts and touch them in such a way that they would be blessed. Father, work in our midst. Draw us together. Draw us to you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn to 1 Peter. Okay, everybody's already left who's leaving for children's church, so we're good. First Peter chapter 1. And we're going to read all of the first chapter plus a little bit, because I do like to bring this context in. There's a lot going on here. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect. That'd be us, just in case you're wondering. To God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and sprinkling by His blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth and a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believed in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke the grace that is to come to you stretched intently and with greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them appointed when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them. They were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace that to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, be holy, so that all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you are redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in the last times for your sake. Through Him you have belief. You believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers. Love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Amen. When I was reading in the Seek God for the City, the topical area here says, seeking His life to revive the church. I said, Lord, you know, lead me to the passage. What is it that I'm supposed to be talking about? Where is it that I'm going to find the scripture? And He led me to the whole concept of being holy. Be holy. If I'm going to seek the life of Christ, what is the life of Christ but holy? Is it not? But you might ask, okay, what is holy? It's being separate for God. It's being separate from the world. It's being set apart in such a way that there's no impurity or unclean thing that is part of it. Now, Jesus interacted with those who were impure and unclean, but He, by being holy, purified them. They did not cause Him to become unsanctified or unclean or unholy. Jesus was the purifying agent. Jesus is holy. So if I'm to seek the life of Jesus, if we as the church are to seek the life of Jesus, we need to seek to be holy. And that led me to 1 Peter. Be holy as I am holy, God has said. We see that in Leviticus. We see it in Exodus. We see it in Deuteronomy. We see it in many places in Scripture where God said those words. But here in 1 Peter, lays it out. Verse 15. But just as He who called you is holy, be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. There He's referring to these many passages about where we're called to be holy. Jesus showed us how to do this. He walked this earth being holy. Here it even speaks of, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. If you go to Leviticus chapter 14, verse 13, I believe. Is that the right one? You got that one? Fred, if you can put it up. Yeah. He is to slaughter the lamb in the holy place where the sin offering and burnt offering were slaughtered. Like the sin offering, the guilt offering belongs to the priest. It is most holy. He is to slaughter the lamb. Okay, just go back. Verse 13. He is to slaughter the lamb. The lamb. And here it's saying that Jesus is that lamb. And if you go before this, I think like verse 8 or so, it talks about how the lamb itself is to be unblemished and without defect. Without sin. That's Christ. Well, how can we do that? How can we be without sin? Anybody here without sin? Yeah. Not me. I'm not going to raise my hand. My sin is covered by the blood of Christ. And He's forgiven me of it. But am I without it? No. I'm not sinless. Christ is the one who's sinless. So I need to seek. But I need to seek to be holy as He's holy. So how can I do that? He also tells us another place in Scripture to be perfect as I am perfect. I can't be perfect. He is. But if we look, we see that David was credited to be a man after God's own heart. But was David without sin? Was David perfect? No. He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. But what was the issue? Why was he considered a man after God's own heart? He was considered and called by God to be after his own heart. Okay, he wasn't referred that way by other people who said, oh, he's after God's heart. No, God said, David is a man after my own. What was it? It was David's brokenness when confronted with his sin. He turned away from it and turned to God. So when we're confronted with our sin, we need to turn from it and turn to Christ. There's a word we have for that: repentance. Okay, it's turning from sin. It's not just saying, oh, I got caught. I wish I hadn't. I'm sorry. I got my hand caught in a cookie jar. No, 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 no. That's just guilty. Okay, we need to repent of our sins. We need to turn from them and turn to God. I hate it when I do that. I had sermon notes around here somewhere. Apparently they're gone. Well, I guess we're going without notes today. When Jesus went to the cross as the perfect sinless sacrifice, the thief on the cross next to him turned to Jesus and said, remember me in your kingdom. And Jesus' answer back was, today you'll be with me in paradise. So we can see that we don't have to do a lot to seek after God except to turn to Him and acknowledge Him and say, Lord, remember me. With a heart that is repentant. See, this same thief looked to the guy on the other cross and said, you know, we deserve to be up here. He doesn't. He is without sin. So even the thief on the cross recognized the holy nature of Jesus. Now God has given us the law as the original guidepost to show us what was holy and what was not holy, what was sin, what was not sin. That was the purpose. The purpose of the law was to point to Christ, to show us this is right, this is wrong. Now, sometimes we in the church today, we want to jettison the Old Testament, jettison the law in its entirety and say that, you know, we just need to follow Christ. Well, if we follow Christ, we follow the law because Christ followed the law. Now, we can't keep the law perfectly. Jesus did. But if you go to Exodus 20. Anybody remember what's there? Ten Commandments. Very good. Thank you. He's got his. Did you go there or did you remember it? Awesome. That's even better. It's the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20. Few simple rules. Follow God. Worship Him and only Him. Right? Then we've got, we're not supposed to make images to worship. Then we have this, not to misuse God's name. He said, shall not misname the name of your Lord, your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name. You ever misuse His name? You know, I can go through each one of these in thought, word, and deed. I've done one of them. Or I've done each of them in some way, right? Because Jesus held up that higher standard. It's not, did I obey the letter of the law, but also the spirit of the law. So we're supposed to seek to follow these rules, this law that God has given us. Honor our father and mother. Remember the Sabbath. Not to commit adultery. Not to covet neighbor. Not to steal. Not to give false witness. Not to lie. Okay, these are things that we're not supposed to do. And we lay it all out here. See, I'm following God, but I'm going to lie, cheat, and steal, and I'm going to... No, you're not. You're not following God then. You're not following Jesus. We're not following Jesus. So as we seek God, we need to seek, we need to try, and say, God, please reveal to me where I have fallen short. Where I'm not making the mark. I don't have my notes and I can't remember where the passage was, but there's a passage that speaks of us, of God walking amongst the encampment. And we're told not to be, to bring things that are unholy or impure into the encampment. And, it's in somewhere in Leviticus there. What? That could be it too. Which one did I have there, Fred? Give me the Deuteronomy one. Up there. I told him where it was. I don't know where my notes are. But we'll wing it. Okay, next verse. Keep going. Give me verse 14. For the Lord your God moves around the encampment to protect you and deliver you from your enemies. Your camp must be holy, so that He will not see among you anything indecent and turn away from you. Now the passage in there, it's talking about setting up the camp, setting up things like latrines outside, and if a man has a nocturnal emission, he's supposed to go outside the camp and cleanse himself, and all these various things that we're supposed to do to keep ourselves holy, cleanse ourselves. You know, if we somehow don't, we're supposed to go out, get cleaned up, and then come back. Because God Himself is amongst our camp. God is in the church. When we look at Revelation chapter 1, we have Jesus walking amongst the lampstands. That is the church. Here He is, God, here in Deuteronomy, talking about how He's walking amongst the encampment. This isn't a new picture. And we need to be holy. Jesus has words for each of the churches in Revelation due to their not quite measuring up to the mark in some places. But the reason is, it tells us right here, so that He will not see among you anything indecent, and turn away from you. We cannot behave indecently, contrary to God's word, and then turn around and expect God to bless us, to protect us, to do these things that we want in need of Him in order for us to do the task that He has given us to the way that we've been called to. What is that task? To take the gospel to the whole world, to those who don't know it. Okay, Northbrook, what's our purpose here? It's to serve our neighbors with Christ's love. We can't do that if we're not seeking after Christ, if we're not seeking after His love. We all know what it is. If we're not seeking after Him, but we can't seek after Him and chase after the things of the world at the same time. We need to be holy. We need to set ourselves apart. We need to turn to God and follow Him. So that as He moves among us, He doesn't see us behaving in the ways that we ought not. God cannot abide that which is unclean, that which is sin. Okay? He can't have it in His presence. He moves among us. People, we have asked God into our hearts, and He's come when we've received Him as our Lord and Savior. He's sealed us with His Holy Spirit. When we behave in ways that are unholy, we are messing up the church. And we're not going to be able to do what it is He wants us to do. We'll not be able to receive the blessings because we'll have made ourselves unfit to receive it. Now, I'm not saying you got to get good enough to get right with God. What I'm saying is if you want God to use you, you have to give up all the stuff that gets between you and Him. We can't follow God if we're pushing all this stuff in front of us that's blocking our view of Him, holding it there. You ever try to follow somebody through a busy busy market or busy place? When Donna and I were in Jerusalem a couple years ago and we're walking through the markets there, if Donna was following me, she needed to watch me because I would go in here or there. Or if I was following her, we knew that. But as we're following one another, we also were following our guide. Okay? We had a guy, a tour guide, that was leading us through. And if we were over here, it was very easy to get separated. If you weren't paying attention to the guide, you know, I'm following Donna, Donna's following me, but we really weren't watching the guide. All of a sudden, we're over here watching, looking at this nice store, looking at these knickknacks, and some, you know, trying to find, you know, just the right gift to bring back for somebody back here. And go, where's everybody from our group? And they're gone. I've allowed something to come between me and my leader, who I'm seeking to follow. Jesus is the exact same. We need to keep our eyes and focus on Him at all times because this world has many things to distract us that'll take us away from Him. We need to seek after Him. We need to be holy. That means we're not going to allow the things that are unholy to have our attention. We need to focus on those things that are holy. And when God brings up to our attention those things in our lives that are coming between Him and us, we need to recognize their unholy nature and be willing to give them up. God is merciful and gracious. And as we grow in our maturity in the Lord, we'll find that somebody who's a brand new Christian, God will hold them to one level of accountability. And but then as they grow and mature, God will maybe show them something that they're doing in their life. Say, you need to deal with this right now. He doesn't make us necessarily deal with everything all at once. He dealt with it all at once when He went to the cross. However, we can't, because we're not God. We're not divine. We can't deal with all of it at once. If He laid it all in front of us at once, I don't believe we'd be sane. I think it would totally destroy us. But He brings each thing up. And we take it, okay, I need to address this issue. Lay it down. Follow God. He's the one that points out to us. Not some helpful neighbor. Okay? You don't necessarily... Now, we need to be accountable to one another. Okay? And if I see somebody here who's behaving in an improper, immoral, an ungodly manner, yes, I need to come alongside of them in love and say, you know, point out this action and say, what's going on here? You can't really claim the name of Christ and be engaged in this. However, it is not our job to be examining other people's lives and seeking to find their problem in order to point it out to them. Okay, it is, however, our job to each examine our own lives and ask God to point them out to us so that we can lay them at His feet. And that's how we seek Christ. We say, God, search me. And then seek to follow Him in all His ways. The promise that He gives us in Matthew is to seek Him and His righteousness, and He will give us everything else we need. All these things. Speaking of clothes, shelter, food, comfort, security, all those earthly needs that we do have. But our first task is to follow Him, to seek after Him. We can't do that if we're dragging our sin with us or pushing it in front of us. So when God points out to us, we need to be like David and say, woe's me. This next week, as we begin Seek God for the City, I would encourage you, each one, to take a book before you go. If you've got the $3, put it in the offering box. Just label it, you know, for the book. If you don't, take a book anyways. If you don't want the book, get the app. But use it. Follow it through. This will be something that will help us as a body to work together, to pray together in the same, so that we're of one mind and that be the mind of Christ as we pray through this. And let the Holy Spirit, let Christ lead us through this season of Lent. Between now and the resurrection. Let's pray. Father, we come before You this morning. We thank You that You indeed love us and that You sent Your Son Jesus to show us how we too can be holy, how we can follow You by following Him. Lord, we thank You that Jesus removed those things that we are unable to remove, and so that we can follow You, so that we can be restored to that right relationship with You. So Lord, we thank You for the work You did on the cross, and we ask that we would be faithful and true to follow You, to seek after You, so that we might be used of You to be a light of Your love, Your gospel, to those who are lost. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.